is either what Abayi says, because of Yichud, and Rava, because of Tzar Chasson. Can anyone just remind us what is the Yichud issue over here?
That he's going to walk out and there's going to be someone else in the room.
Okay, so Rashi says he's going to walk out and he's going to be away from the sukkah for a while, and because the sukkah is elevated, it's up on the roof, it doesn't have a lot of foot traffic, what's going to happen? Ein derech v'yitziya sham l'rabim tamid m'nei ha-torech. It's a big hock to get up and down from the sukkah. So shema yered ha-chasson lasot tzrachav. There won't be a lot of people there because the chasson will go down to do his deeds and his needs. And yisyached acher makala, and there'll be someone else alone with the kala. So we said, just from a practical standpoint, it's difficult to understand what kind of yichud is this? Why is this problematic? Because in the context of Hilchos Yichud, this is generally speaking not a situation where we would say it's yichud. Why? For a different number of different reasons. One of which is a term that we use in general when you need to have oversight or you need to have someone watching another person. We have a concept known as a mirsas. Mirsas means a fear. If there's a fear of being found out, a fear of being happened upon, we say that the condition is met and it's like someone else is there. So even in Hashgacha, in Kashrus, so today it's very popular to have a Mashgiach Tamidi. But the truth is, to have a Hashgacha, you don't necessarily need to have a Mashgiach Tamidi, as long as you have a situation where there's a Mirsas, where there's a fear that the person doing something inappropriate feels he's always going to be found out. Someone could come in at any moment unannounced, and he's going to live with that fear and not do anything inappropriate. Because of that, it's like someone's there watching. Well, that's the way Hashgachas always traditionally. Yes, that's the way Hashgachas traditionally worked, and in many cases they're still done that way. Okay, in some situations, for whatever reason, we insist. And when I say we, I mean we as a community insist on Mashgiach Tamidi. In most larger companies, they don't have Mashgiach Tamidi. Right? Entimans doesn't have Mashgiach. Constant, Tamid. Right? Entimans doesn't have a Mashgiach Tamidi that's coming in there every day, or any of these bigger companies. The OU makes spot checks. They come in. They have Mashgichim that come in on a regular basis, whatever it is. They have a few companies that they are responsible for in a certain region of the country, and they drive through. 1 week they go to this place on a Tuesday. The next day, the time they come back, it's on a Thursday. That's, if you have the same schedule all the time, it's also no kunst, because they'll figure out, okay, the rabbi's coming today, so tomorrow we'll go back to usual. We'll use the hammocks. That's not good. But if it's a situation where it can happen in at any moment, and that's the way it should be done, there's a mirsas. The same thing over here. The guy walked out. The kala doesn't think that he left the country and that she's gonna be alone forever. He's gonna come back at any minute. He went to the facilities. He went wherever he went. Or someone else is gonna come. That's one difficulty. The other difficulty is even if she knows he's gonna be away. There's halacha, hopefully everyone got to take a look at this, in Evna Ezer that discusses the halachas of Yichud. Does someone have the Shulchan Aruch, Chaf Beis? Anyone have Evna Ezer? I see a stack of Svarim over there. Is that... thank you. Are those Svarim from Arshia? Are those... Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if they're brought this way, maybe people could benefit from them. I'm not... seems to be left down there. So the Mechaber deals with Isser Yichud, the general Isser of Yichud, v'immi osir l'syachid. It's one siman in Shulchan Aruch, 20 se'ifim. All the halachas of Yichud are derived in one way or another from these basic rules and the Nosei Kalim. So in this is in se'if ches, se'if ches. Isha Shaba'alo Ba'ir. Ein choshishin l'hisyached ima. A woman whose husband is in the ear, is in the city, we're not choshish to be miyached with her. It's not a problem, it's not a violation of laws of yichud for someone to be alone with her, even though it's just the two of them. Why? Mem nesha emos ba'alo aleho. We're concerned, she's always fearful that her husband's going to come back at any moment. Right? Her husband's within the same city. Now, the truth be told, there's a machlokas over here in the Meforshim, whether it's a physical type of fear, meaning she's concerned that he's going to literally come in any second, or it's more of a psychological type of concern, simply knowing that her husband is there, I can't do it. This is wrong. You know, this is wrong. She has a sense that, you don't do something inappropriate in someone's, that's offensive to someone in their own home. You don't do this in your husband's ear when he's there. It's just not, it's not right. If Hayaz a gaspa, the Mechaber says, but if they had a pre-existing relationship, Let's say this man and woman grew up together, or they're otherwise, I don't know, they dated previously. A lot of practical application to this halacha. But they have some kind of pre-existing relationship where the normal barriers that exist between people who aren't otherwise well acquainted have been worn away or don't exist. Right? And there's a certain comfortable rapport that exists. Oshihi kruvaso, or she's related to him in some way. O imkina labala, or if the husband specifically warned them not to be together for whatever reason, these two individuals. Imze lo yisachirimo. Afal pisha ba'alo ba'ir. So ba'alo ba'ir goes pretty much in a normal setting, will apply in a normal setting. Except it won't apply when it's gasba, or when they're related, or when the husband warned the two of them not to be together. So in our case in the Gemara, it's true, a number of the people that are there could very well be relatives. It could be, right? Is that what we're talking about? So I don't know, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Why aren't they related?
Because you feel a certain closeness, you don't have those normal barriers that exist between people. The same thing would be, you work with a person for a prolonged period of time. Also, there's a certain familiarity that exists now. You might not have the saving grace of Baal HaBe'er. So one suggestion might be to say, well, we're talking about relatives. Right? We're talking about the relatives that are in the sukkah. So that's what Rashi is talking about when he says that she's going to be misyachid with one of those people. So Baal HaBe'er won't help. That's just a suggestion. Another suggestion, and this is very important, this is, again, in terms of halacha l'maisa, in terms of maybe just explaining the pshat over here, there's another rule. The Chelkos Mechokek, one of the Nosei Kelim over here in Eben Ezer, along with the Beis Shmuel, has a big, we'll call it a big stringency, a big chumrah, but it's important to be aware of it because many of the poskim accept this particular stringency. His name is the Chelkos Mechokek. That's the name of his commentary. But in a classic Achron, not a modern day Achron. No. So he's of the following opinion. This is in Sifkaten Yud Gimel. Normally, you say that when you have Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim, there's no Yichud. Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim. See, let's say you had that three-walled sukkah, and it was open to the masses. Everyone could see what's going on there, right? So then there's no problem of yichud. It would seem that there's no real problem of yichud, which really heightens the problem, because the second sheet that says tzar chasan, Rashi says it's based on a three-walled sukkah. So manushach, are they arguing mitzias, or do they really have a three-walled sukkah? And if they have a three-walled sukkah, What kind of yichud is there? They're not alone. They have a Pesach Pasuach. So it's another problem now. You have Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim. Where's the yichud? So you'll tell me Baal HaBe'er. Okay, maybe Gaspa. Fine. But what about the fact that the sukkah is open? So I thought that maybe this would be the teretz to say that the Gemara here is a support for this position of the Chelkos Mechokek. And the Chelkos Mechokek holds the following. Bayis shepesucha l'rishus harabim nireh d'hachanami b'gaspa u'b'kinala asar. The Chelkos Mechokek holds that Pesach pesucha l'rishus harabim won't work, won't help in a case of gaspa. If it's a woman and a man that have some type of relationship, let's say they previously dated, or they grew up together, or you know, they work together for many years, or they're related in such a way where there's no incest but there's a close relationship, then just like there's no heter of yichud. There's no heter of yichud with such a person. Meaning, just like by Baal HaBe'er, gaspa doesn't work, so too, gaspa is such an overriding principle. It's such a strong force that could whittle away at the otherwise
sufficient.
Yes, the otherwise sufficient deterrent. No, gaspa overrides all of them. It overrides Balo Be'ir, and the Chalkas Mechokek says, you know what, it also overrides Pesach Pasuach. That's a big chumrah. That means two people can't be alone, even with in front of an open window, or in front of behind an unlocked door, if they have a situation on Gaspa. Now that would explain the Gemara's insistence, at least according to that Shita, that there's a problem of Yichud over here. Ah, what do you mean, it's a three-walled Sukkah? Yeah, but if we're talking about one of those individuals for whom it's Gaspa, then you're going to have that problem. Right? Then you're going to have that problem.
And who was the rabbi who held this one?
His name was, the name of the commentary was the Chalkas Mechokek. So, but now the question is, in terms of Svara, not so much about the Sukkah, just in terms of explaining how this works. How is it that you could tell me that's called Yichud? How is it that's called Yichud? Can we explain that? Can we give a Svara to explain that? Normally when I stand by an open window, or I stand behind an unlocked door with a woman, why is it permissible? Because Pesach Pasuach means an open door, a door that's open to the public thoroughfare, means it's not Yichud. By definition, Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim is not Yichud. It's the opposite of Yichud. Right? Yichud means I'm alone. Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim means I'm out, I'm basically as good as in front of the public. Oh, no one's here right now, but anyone could walk past any second and see what I'm doing. Anyone could just walk right in here. That's as good as being out in the street. Now you tell me when there's Gaspa, there's a detraction of that, that's taken away, is a removal of that? How is that possible? So could you explain that?
Yeah. I think, can we...
Yeah, so, in the normal case of Yichud...
How does that work? That when it's a woman that I don't know, I don't have a pre-existing rapport with, so I say, Pesach Pasuach Rishus HaRabim, that's not Yichud. It's not called Yichud. Oh, but now you tell me Gaspa, same situation, that's Yichud.
When it's open to everyone else, it has to do with the guy, the person, his mindset or what his concern is. When the woman he doesn't know comes to the door, then he's not thinking about, you know, that woman, like, on, that's not the fourth, because he doesn't really have anything to do with her, and he's concerned that it's open to the public. So that's a deterrent for him. But if he knows her, then it's not at the forefront of his mindset.
Okay, good. You're saying something important. Let me just take a couple other comments, and we'll come back to what you just said. Yeah.
So I would say that the way it works is that really when it's someone he doesn't know,
right?
He's constantly worrying about, oh, someone might come in or whatever,
right?
Or something like that.
Right.
But if he's comfortable with the person, he's not going to care. Because it's someone I'm familiar with.
Right.
People know that, whatever.
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah, it's sort of a Zach saying.
So it's more of a worry when he's comfortable because
okay.
He just doesn't care about the public opinion.
Okay.
Whereas he does in the other case.
Okay, I think we're missing one step, though. You want to say something? Yeah.
I want to redefine Yichud as a situation which leads to a rise.
Okay.
And therefore, it's not really seclusion because it's not seclusion. If you're visible by a million people through the window, then it's certainly not seclusion.
Now what about Gaspa?
So that's the thing. So it's redefined as a situation which leads to a rise. Now that we're talking about a situation, we can now have a fight between the two.
You want to say that really?
I wonder. Yeah. Redefine.
So you know what? Let me try to put in perspective what these guys are saying first. Okay. What Zach and Chaim are saying, I think, is different.
Yeah.
They're saying that really when I'm alone with a woman and the door is unlocked or I'm by a window, that's really, I am alone. That is called secluded. That's called Yichud. But I have this constant fear, the mirsas, that someone could come in at any moment and walk by at any moment. That's considered a deterrent, and that's enough to permit the Yichud. They're not saying it's not called Yichud, right? It's not that that's not called secluded. Because if it's not called secluded, then you have a hard time trying to reformulate it. It's secluded, but you have another factor which says seclusion in this case is permissible. You're alone together. I'm not saying you're not alone. You're alone. But being alone in this case is permissible because you have this external fear, this mirsas. Another halachic mechanism which allows you to be alone. Oh, but when you have gaspa, you're just alone without the external fear, without the mirsas. You have this woman that you have a relationship. Gaspa means that you have this relationship with her. You're familiar with her. So now you have seclusion without the mirsas. Zach, that's what you're saying, right?
Yes, sir.
Let me explain a little bit better. The reason why when it's gaspa, the fear is not as prevalent is because you have a strong desire to be with the person. Now, the gaspa aspect, you're more comfortable being with her. There's more of an interest in being there, being alone. So you're willing to maybe overlook the other things. It's not such a deterrent. It's a problem, it's not a deterrent. You have a stronger connection. You have a pre-existing connection with this person. So when you have it's a new person, there's a lot of hurdles that a person has to overcome before they're going to, right? Before you're going to engage in any inappropriate behavior, halakhically, there's a lot of hurdles that you have to overcome. You can't just walk up to a person.
It still doesn't change the fact that someone's just as likely to walk in, or more likely to walk in if the door is
Yeah, the mitzias, that's my point. The mitzias doesn't change.
It just has to do with the person.
It has to do with the mirsa, so it has to do with his whole perspective. How much of a deterrent is this going to be for me? The fact that someone come in here, oh, listen, you know what? I don't really know this woman. There's a lot going on here, so you're on edge. The whole situation is one of on edge. But you really know this woman, and maybe on some level you desire her, so you're willing to block out the other stuff. It's not as much of a deterrent. I mean, think about something on your own, everyone on his own level. You know, people have certain things that they want to do, right? I don't know. A guy's watching his weight. So he has a snack that's right in front of him. He enjoys it. You know, he knows he really shouldn't have it. So just knowing that's not good for him, maybe it's not such a big deterrent. Not enough of a deterrent because he likes that. He knows he likes that, right? So that thing he has to push all the way to the end of the table. The other thing that he never had it before. He never ate it before. So maybe just, you know, pushing it a little bit to the side is enough. He says, I know I'm on a diet. I shouldn't have it. I mean, it's a crude example, but I'm just trying to show you where the pre-existing relationship with the thing already causes more of a teshuka for it, more of a desire for it, and you need a greater distancing from it to prevent yourself from having it.
I think it's the opposite.
Right? The opposite.
And by it's also been an opposite.
Say again? The opposite.
The opposite by your example and by...
Meaning what?
Like if an ex-girlfriend comes over.
Forget about ex-girlfriend. Let's say a girl that you're dating right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying name. If you
one second. You think a guy's gonna be?
You know that you are more tempted in that situation, so you put yourself. You might not sit on the same couch. You might do certain things to.
You think a guy is gonna be more careful? I hear what you're saying.
A guy's gonna be
more careful, just mentally more careful, yeah, with the girl that he's dating. He's going to be less likely to do anything inappropriate with the girl that he's dating than he is with the girl that he's not dating.
Assuming that he really wants to be keeping the halacha, yeah. Obviously, if the guy doesn't care.
It's not about him not caring. Which one presents a greater challenge?
I think the girl that he's not dating represents what I'm
greater thinking. A greater challenge?
Oh, a greater challenge. If you know about this, let's say a day in advance.
What a day?
Let's
give you an example. Is there a difference between a first date and a guy that's been dating with a girl for, I don't know, months?
Yes.
There is, right? So where is it less likely for anything inappropriate to happen?
The first date.
First date. So we're just saying that in a situation where the person has the equivalent status of a first date, so the mirsas is enough to, this is what he's apparently saying, the mirsas, the fear that someone's going to walk in or something is enough to say that he's not doing anything wrong. Given all the other things that are going on psychologically and the fact that there's no existing rapport with them, that's enough. The mirsas, together with the fact that he doesn't have a relationship with her. Take the same guy in 6 months from now when he's been dating the girl for 6 months, the fact that the door's unlocked is not necessarily going to be enough of a bar for him. Listen, you'd like to think that everyone could keep halacha and everyone could, but this is the halacha. The halacha is that yichud is prohibited. Why? Because we understand human nature is what it is. Why does it speak to certain cases and not other cases? Oh, because we understand that in certain cases, more likely than other cases to have something inappropriate happen. Now again, is this the pshat in the Gemara? I can't tell you this is the pshat in the Gemara. I could just say that this Gemara seems to be a support for this approach in the Chalkas Mechokik. But lest anyone be overly upset, in the interest of full disclosure, I just want to point out that not all of the other poskim agreed with this. I think I misspoke before. I think I said the Rama argues. I think the Taz over here is the one that argues. The Taz says no, that Gaspa does not remove the heter of Pesach Pasuach. So if a person is dating and he's sitting by an open window or he's sitting by an unlocked door, according to the Taz, that would be okay. That would be sufficient.
We're driving in a car.
I don't want to make the whole shiur into a shiur on Hilchos Yichud. If you want to talk about that another time, I'll be happy to take it up. But there are tshuvas that deal with the various issues of driving in a car. Rav Moshe has a few tshuvas where he talks about the potential yichud problems in a car.
Ultimately, does he say
it's okay? I want to make a different suggestion. So you don't want to say that really? No, it's not when you have Pesach Pasuach. It's not yichud. It's not yichud. Gaspa makes it yichud. Now we have to explain that. It's a different approach. So how would you explain it?
So situation which leads to a rias.
That's defined as yichud. A situation yeah. which has so the possibility for yeah. Leading to a rias is going to be called yichud.
Yeah.
So where the window is open, the door is open, that's not subject to, generally speaking, not subject to
okay.
situation of a rias.
I mean, by turning it into a situation, we now allow the different halachic things to be able to clash.
Yeah.
As before, it seems like they're talking past each other.
So now Gaspa does what?
There's no connection,
good.
Right?
So Gaspa says
so,
what?
So Gaspa would say that when you come...
Now you have a situation that's shaykh yeah, for you, for Arayas.
Yeah, so it's like now Gaspa is actually able to overcome and, you know, break.
You're redefining yichud. Yichud yeah, is not exactly. only seclusion. You want to say yichud is seclusion that has the likelihood
not
of...
Even seclusion. It's just
well, it has to be. It's not any situation.
So I would say.
No, I'm saying if a guy goes to a place that's not appropriate, but it's not yichud, you could lead to a rias, but you're not going to say it's yichud.
True. So I would say that the iser is on pure seclusion plus like
potential for yeah. For a rias.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. Okay, that's
and
good.
And so, if plus. Only one of them is there, it's really not. It's not.
I hear what you're saying. It's good.
It's not an iser.
Right.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, he wants to say that we don't have to go so far as what we said before and say really it's still yichud when you have Pesach Wasuach, it's just that you have a mirsas. He wants to say no. Say it's not yichud at all. Say it's not yichud at all because we'll redefine yichud. Yichud means seclusion with the potential for arayas. Right? So now you don't have that in a case where it's Pesach Wasuach and a woman that you don't know. But where it's Pesach Pasuach with plus Gaspa, now you have seclusion together with the possibility for a rias, potential for a rias. That is yichud. That's what I'm saying. I hear that. That's another possibility.
So we reject this approach?
Do we reject it? L'halacha, you mean?
Yeah.
You want to know if you could be mekel to be on a date with a girl in a place where the door is open and the windows...
I'm trusting orthodoxy. Do we?
I mean, this is a chumrah. It seems that many of the... Poskim suggest that one it should be followed, but there are poskim here that say that that's not the halacha. That the Taz, for example, says that's not the halacha. I don't remember offhand, all the different positions on this particular issue. I mean, we could check if anyone's interested. We could check. We could take it up as a separate shiur, practical halacha for the dating man in today's society. Whatever. We could go through some of the halachas of yichud. I don't mind doing that, but I'd rather not do that now. I want to offer something else that I saw here in the Maharsham. In one of the chuvas of the Maharsham, he's discussing a couple of issues of Yichud, and tangentially, he discusses this Gemara in Sukkah. And he says, you want to know something? He says, Al Pidin, this would not be an issue of Yichud. This is not Yichud. This is not Yichud. So Elamai, what does the Gemara mean? What does the Gemara mean? It doesn't mean Halachic Yichud. He says that it means something else. It's in Chelek Beis Simen Ayin Vav, in the Chuvas Maharsham. I would never have seen it. I don't want anyone to think that I, the key is in the Chuvas of the Maharsham. But in the Otzim Afarshi HaTalmud, he cites it. And it's hard to say this is the pshat of the Gemara, because the Gemara uses the Lashon of Yichud. But you see why he's forced to say this. Because it's so difficult to try to understand why it's yichud, unless, of course, you hold like this chumrah of the chelkas machokik, and you say the Gemara stands for that proposition, which is possible. But he has a different answer, and he simply says,
"He's
an achram." Later achram. So his approach is that it's not real yichud because for some of the reasons that we mentioned, it's difficult to say that it's yichud, because halachli balo be'ir mirsas. There should still be a mirsas, right? In order to say there's no mirsas, you have to say that every other person that's walking in would be a person with whom she's gaspa, or who is gaspa. And is they're all related to all people that she knows. It's very unlikely that that's the case, right? She just got married. It's not like today when you grow up together or you know you spend a lot of time dating, you know all of your husband's friends. Not necessarily the case. People could be people that she never met before. What kind of gaspa is there? Relatives, okay, maybe her relatives, but his relatives or his friends, that shouldn't be gaspa. So I think for that reason, he wants to suggest something different. And that which he suggests, Yesha Dacha Ra'ayaso Chada Dein Halach Gabayi, the Rava Pagal, Hava Od, Dahare Ba'alo Be'ir, Veleka Hachi Yisa Yichud. There's no Yichud because Ba'alo Be'ir. Forget about Ba'alo Be'ir. Ba'alo Be'ir is where your husband goes out and he's out for an extended period of time and he can come home at any minute. This guy just went out to the men's room. He's kind of going to come back any minute. He's not like he's out for a long period of time. We're just not sure how long. He's out and about in town. He's doing errands. He can come back at any moment. No, we know how long it is. He can come back any second. You have to say that it's not real yichud, not halachic yichud. The chassan is not going to be at ease. That's we're worried about the chassan. We're not worried about a halachic situation of yichud. We're worried about the chassan who has to leave the sukkah now. But you know what? He just got married, and he doesn't want to leave his wife alone. I don't know. He doesn't want to leave his wife with his friends or with his relatives. There are people that he's ill at ease. He's not at ease leaving his wife there, and he's going to come to maybe suspect certain things. And that's what we're worried about. And again, I wouldn't say that on my own, but that's the Marsham, and he says that primarily because of all the halachic reasons why we would say this is not really yichud. So he has to come up with a different interpretation. What's his interpretation? That the Gemara is using the term yichud, but not in the halachic sense, more in the sense that we don't want to leave them alone. We don't want to leave them alone because it's not nice for the chassan. The chassan is going to have ill feelings towards the situation. It's going to be uneasy, uncomfortable, leaving his new bride alone in the sukkah, knowing that any moment someone else can pop in there. Either he's very untrusting, this fellow, or he's keeping bad company, if that's what he's worried about. But apparently, there's some sense of chashad that the chassan's going to have. And he wants to say that that's what maybe Rava argues on. Maybe Rava argues on that very point and says, no, it's not because of this feeling, it's because of a different feeling. See, now they're a little bit closer together, right? We're in both cases, now we're pattering the chassan because of some feeling, some uneasy feeling that he's going to have. According to this approach, the yichud is a feeling he's going to have. He's going to suspect certain things. He's not happy about the whole situation. The response to that is, no, that's not the feeling that we're worried about. That's not the tsar that we're worried about. What tsar is it? Tsar chassan. A different type of tsar. What is that? Oh, the sukkah, says Rashi, is open on three sides, and he's bosh, embarrassed to playfully rejoice with his new spouse. It's almost the opposite. Now that we have to answer also, we have to explain that also. But it's almost the opposite. It's almost the opposite of each other. According to this Marsham, the feeling that we're worried about is the feeling that he's going to be uncomfortable leaving her alone with someone else. Just a feeling. According to Rava said, no, we're not worried about his feeling when he has to leave her alone with someone else. We're worried about his feeling when he is with her. We're worried about his feeling when he is with her. He feels uncomfortable then. It's not that he feels uncomfortable when he goes out of the sukkah. That's why we're pottering him from going into the sukkah. No, he's going to feel comfortable in the sukkah. Because you have to admit to say that you feel uncomfortable when you have to leave the sukkah, therefore don't go into the sukkah, that's already two steps removed. So Rava says, no, that's not the feeling that we're worried about. We're worried about the very feeling that he's going to have in the sukkah. The tsar chassan. Tsar chassan is that he's going to be uneasy about rejoicing with his wife while he's in the sukkah. Oh, that's a type of tzar. You could potter him from sitting in the sukkah. It's sort of, again, it's a novel approach, but it sort of bridges the gap a little bit. It makes them more in line with one another and what they're arguing about. It's not one guy's arguing about yichud and one guy's arguing about tzar chassan. What's the machlokes? If you take this approach, novel as it may be, we're saying that they're both arguing on what type of tzar is it that the chassan is experiencing that we're pottering him from. Oh, so the approach of Abai would be to say, we're pottering him because he's going to be uneasy when he has to leave the sukkah. So we tell him, don't even go out to the sukkah, because every time you leave the sukkah, you're going to be uncomfortable. Rav says, well, maybe that's a little bit too much. You're telling me you're going to pot the guy from being in the sukkah? Where's the tzar de memela? Where's the tzar in the sukkah? That says no tzar in the sukkah there. The tzar is only when you have to leave the sukkah. That much I'm not willing to pot. I'm not saying that's tzar that's patur worthy. What is the patur? What is the tzar that is patur worthy? Oh, that's the tzar that you're going to have by being in the sukkah. You're going to have to sit there with your wife and you're going to be uncomfortable. That you pot from. Why are you pot there? What's the tzar? What's the tzar? Rashi says the sukkah is open on three sides and you feel embarrassed.
What would these seem like crazy things?
They're a little bit difficult to understand. So the Magen Avraham, did everyone see the Magen Avraham? Did anyone see the Magen Avraham?
Couldn't get through it?
The Magen Avraham said, if you saw the right Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham says that Bezman Hazeh, when we make our sukkahs with four walls, you don't have this problem. And you'd be chayv to sit in the sukkah. The Mechaber Paskins...
Didn't he still say that it's still a
tzar chassan? The Mechaber Paskins, like the Shulchan Aruch, like this Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskins, like this Gemara, Tuf Reish Mem. Wait, what was it? What Simon? Yeah. The way the Magen Avraham understands the Psak is that the Mechaber's Psak is based on Rava. Yeah, it's Tuf Reish Mem. Anyone?
None.
Anyone?
None.
Vav. Chasim v'shoshvino v'kol b'nei achupa p'turim min asukah kol zayin yimei hamishta. Right? So the Magen Avraham there explains it's based on the tsar of the chasan. The tsar of the chasan. The Magen Avraham over here, Tuf Reish Mem Suf Ka'an Yud Aleph. The Ein Simcha Ela B'Chopa U'Makom Seuda U'Besuka Yesha Lasos Chopa Mishum Tzar Chason L'Fisha Makom Parutz V'Hu Bosh L'Sachik Im Kaloso. Im Kain, says the Magen Avraham, and again, this is a halacha psuk in Shulchan Aruch. Comes along the Magen Avraham 100 years later, 200 years later, and says, you know what? The way the Gemara Paskin, that Tzar Chasson is the basis for the Patur, the Mechaber Paskin's that way, but you know what? Bezman Hazeh, when we make our sukkahs with four walls, generally speaking,
this is not applicable.
Sheyesh lanu sukkah im dal defanos, tzarech leishay b'sukkah. You have to, the Chasson has to sit in the sukkah.
That means that they have to do chuppah in the sukkah.
You'd have to live in the sukkah. Right, the only reason why we tell them you can't do everything in the sukkah is because of tzar chasan. You can't do tzar chasan. If you don't have tzar chasan, yeah, then you have to do everything in the sukkah. The chayim lan kirava, like you said, chayim, correctly. Now, that's one issue. The Shahar Tzion, authored by the Mishnah Berurah, brings down that Magen Avraham, and he says, The chassan is upset, not because the sukkah is open on one side, but because the sukkah is cramped. It's very cramped, and it's very uncomfortable, and he doesn't want to sit with his wife and his in-laws and his parents and all of his friends and guests in a small cramped area to make labedik. It's not enjoyable. And of course, there'd be in Yeruchim also. She'ein yochel esmoch im kal also she'ein sukkah makom sagor. V'gam bo'or zaruah matzasi v'zel ashonah mishum tzar chasam the sukkah einam miruvachas. The sukkah is not expansive. It's not a big sukkah. V'chasam bo'y makom miruvach delichnesu sham kol b'nei hachupah ad kan l'shonah. The latter shittas that are quoted here don't seem to be concerned so much with the tzar that's going to come from the fact that you have a sukkah that's parutz, as much as you're not going to be able to bring your whole b'nei hachupah into the sukkah. It's a different type of tzar. So that would not be alleviated by a four-walled sukkah.
So he's still pater now.
Then. You'd still be, according to those shittas, he'd still be pater.
So, but I mean...
His halach would still be like the shulchan.
But I mean, usually you have, let's say I'm saying it's a wedding simcha, right?
Right.
So let's say you were using a shul sukkah, you know those huge sukkahs.
That's a good question. A good question. Why don't you mechayev a guy to build a bigger sukkah?
Right.
You could do that. Why don't you say, listen, if the problem is that you're worried you're not going to be able to bring your family out to the sukkah and to be comfortable, and that's the tzad that you were. I don't have an answer. Like, I don't have a good answer for you. Mm-hmm. But if that's the problem is that the guy's not going to be comfortable, so why don't you require him from the outset to build a sukkah that could accommodate everyone, and therefore he'll be comfortable and he won't be bitzar. Can I make my sukkah? Let's go back to that.
They're not going to machayev you in something that prevents you from being putter.
Yeah, exactly. Can I build my sukkah in a place that's very smelly and then say, oh, I'm a star from a sukkah? No, that's not true. You have to build your sukkah in a kosher place, and then when the tzar comes from mail, then you putter. Can I build my sukkah in a place where it's going to fall down for whatever reason?
How come?
I know there's a lot of bugs in this place in my yard. Who says I'm allowed to build a sukkah over there? Build a sukkah where it's kosher, and then when the tzar comes, then you'll be putter. But you can't build the sukkah me'ikara in a place that is endowed with the tzar.
So, but this isn't that you're...
What's that? Why are we passing like Rav over Rabbi?
Why is he... So he's going to say because we don't start like Abai that Osik is not a concern.
No, Abai's approach was the Yichud.
Okay. Oh, the Yichud, okay.
Right? So on top of the Yichud not making so much sense, you could put it back. Is that from downstairs?
Yeah.
Someone will take Achrayus and putting it back? Chavrusa?
Yeah.
Okay. Right? So in addition to the Yichud being difficult to understand, I mean, it's already Nidcha LaHalacha. So now you just have to deal with Rava. So within Rava now, there's two possibilities. Either the Tsar is the way Rashi says, that the Tsar is that it's just not pleasant for him to celebrate with his wife. Oh, if that's the case, we could alleviate that problem, build a four-walled sukkah, like you do today. But if the problem is that it's not a Mokum that's Meruvach, it's not expansive enough, that will still be... The way the Mishnah Berurah presents it, that will still serve as a patur. The only question that we have is, why don't tell him make him build a sukkah? What? Other Rishonim. Other Rishonim don't learn like Rashi. They don't learn pshat like Rashi in Sar Chasson. He says the Orzarua learns that way.
I mean, what is stopping a guy from building a sukkah?
So I said, I don't know the answer to that question. Why not, according to this approach, according to these posts, can just tell the guy, okay, you have to build a bigger sukkah.
I think I
saw someone raise that question. Let me just see if I can find it quickly.
I would think it's simply because we're not going to machayev someone on making sure that they're not potter.
No, but I'm saying you can't build a sukkah me'ikara knowing that there's going to be...
No, I know. You can't, but that's simply because you wouldn't be yotzei in sukkah over there. I'm saying with this sukkah, you'd still be yotzei. It's just that you're going to be potter because of the fact that there are so many people. It's not like... It's not an issue of tsa'ar from outside of the sukkah. It's tsa'ar because of the sukkah itself. It's not like it's too hot outside. It's not like there are bugs. It's not like there's a smell. It's that there's too many people there.
Right.
It's not like when you build a sukkah...
You're saying it's not inherent in the sukkah.
Right.
So, it's not just Orzuru that has this approach, by the way. You asked, Sammy, you asked who said this. The Meiri also has this approach. So, it's a significant group of Rishonim that learned that this was the Tsar.
Right.
So, the son of the Orzuru, Rav Chaim ben Orzarua, Marach Orzarua, tried to address this question. Why, according to my father, would you still be potter? Why don't you just mechayev him to build a better sukkah? So he brought an interesting raya. And again, it doesn't fully answer the question. Maybe we'll have to say sort of what Chaim is saying. But his raya that you don't have to do such a thing was interesting. He says that the Torah says you can make a sukkah from... Psoles Goren Viyekev. You could basically make it from branches. You can make it from weeds. You can make a sukkah from not the best materials. You're not mechuyev to build a sukkah that can withstand the wind or withstand it has to be omen beruch mitzuyah. I'm saying it doesn't have to withstand the elements. You don't have to build a sukkah like a real house. It could be a very temporary structure. So you want to say if you could build a sukkah like that, you don't require it to be so expansive. Maybe you don't also have to build it to be able to accommodate all of the members of the house. And the Torah never required that you build a sukkah in such a way. When it says Teshu Kein Tadiru, it doesn't mean that you have to build a sukkah in the same way that a house would be able to accommodate everybody that you want to have in your house, that you have to build a sukkah that could accommodate everyone that you want to have in your sukkah. That's not part of the definition of the teshuvah tedir. Teshuvah tedir means once you have a sukkah, you have to live in it in a certain way. But in terms of the way you build a sukkah, you're only limited up to a point. You have to have a roof that qualifies as schach, and you have to have walls that meet the specific criteria. But you're never required to build a sukkah that has the strength, in this case, also the expansiveness of a house. Yeah.
I mean, one could say that if the